Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Helping kids gain access to sport, just something I felt really close to. It's out of Columbus, Ohio, where I'm from, but we're coming to Boston this summer in July, and we're going to hand out sporting equipment for kids to try and, you know, some kids that maybe don't have access to I think it's a hockey stick, maybe a ball or two. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear it. That's my alarm. But yeah, we're going to hand it out. Anyway, great organization. There's a link on my Instagram if you feel inclined to get more information. But thankful for the help so far. We appreciate it, and I can't wait to hand some stuff out in July.
All right, and we can't wait to talk. We'll talk to you when it gets to playoff time. So
good luck.
Awesome. Go get them. Good luck. All right, Sean, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
It's time to get some intel on the Sox. It's the Front Office Report on EEI.
I hope Scott from Weymouth is listening, because this is sports after sports after sports, Ken Lair.
Right in your wheelhouse.
Front Office Report is brought to you by Unified Office, where they help restaurants maximize revenue and avoid placing customers on hold. See unifiedoffice.com for more. And this week it is Brian O'Halloran who joins us from the Red Sox with the Front Office Report. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
So I got to ask, this team is so far, I think, has exceeded the expectations. Well, when it came to the fans and maybe the media, has it internally exceeded the expectations of management?
I honestly wouldn't put it that way. I think, you know, overall, in spite of a tough loss last night and some ups and downs here, overall, it's great that we've gotten off to a good start, had a good first month. I guess what I would say is we felt going in that we had, you know, a good team, a good baseball team, a good competitive team. You know, whenever you're in that situation where you don't necessarily, you know, you're not certain that it's a team that's going to go out and on paper win 100 games, or the flip side of that, you don't think it's a team that's going to go out and win 65 games. You know, if you think you have a competitive team that's going to be in the fight, there's some variance to how that can play out, certainly over the course of a month. And I think overall things went pretty well. Obviously, there's still some things that need to be improved, but I wouldn't say it's been surprising. But by and large, we're pleased with how things have gone.
Well, but does it change your approach at all? Like, if you were looking at, or you're Sam Kennedy or whomever looking at, or Haim, you're looking at this and saying, all right, you know, it's a 3-4 year essentially rebuild thing that's going on here. When the team comes out like they have, does that change your approach at all?
I think, you know, you're always, your approach is always evolving, and you're always trying to balance the present and trying to win in a given season with, you know, sustaining success over time and making sure you're not doing anything that you know, prevents you from doing that and from winning in the future. So it's always a balance, and you know, we're a little over 1 month in now. You know, we got a few more months here until you know, the trade deadline, say, for example, which is obviously a big date. So you evaluate your team as you go, and certainly, yes, the performance of the team can change your approach to what you do in season, but that's the case every year.
Brian, when you look at your starting pitching, they started off really well. And I know Lou Maloney talked about, you know, pitchers just being able to keep teams in the game where it's close games. And when you look at what you guys have been able to do with your rotation, did you expect that coming into this season, or did you feel like, you know what, you know, sometimes the pitching maybe can start a little bit slower?
Well, you know, we definitely felt that we had improved starting pitching, both with, you know, return to health of some guys like E-Rod, and some additions from the outside, you know, like Garrett Richards. You know, so we felt we had a rotation that could, you know, perform well, keep us in games, and give us a chance, and certainly would be an improvement from last year. Not to mention, we felt that we had increased depth, with, you know, some of the guys that are starting in AAA, and also, you know, guys that are pitching out of the pen that could start if we needed them to. But that all said, you know, we also knew, you know, that there was some risk in our rotation. We had, you know, some guys that coming off of either injury or over time some difficulty, you know, posting 180, 200 innings. We knew it wasn't a rotation that we could bank on everybody going out there and doing that. But that's part of the reason that we felt we wanted to really build our depth. But it's gone well, as you said. I mean, the guys have kept us in games. All five guys have really, really done a good job, and that's part of the reason, maybe the main reason why we're sitting in first place here.
Brian, fastball from me right here, right now. Is it accurate that the genesis for the home run cart comes from Jason Varitek last year? Because he's now taking credit for it.
You know, I don't honestly know the true answer to that question, but okay. If Tech is taking credit for it, I'm going to go with Tech.
Okay.
I mean, I trust Tech. Okay. I trust the captain.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, Brian, what can you tell us about Chris Sale's first throw off the mound? How did he look?
Yeah, so Chris continues to progress well, the most recent step was some light toss off the mound, which is a big step. So, you know, he's not at the point where he's really heating it up yet, but just getting off the mound is a huge milestone, and he's excited by it, and he's progressing forward, so that's all good.
Brian, when you look at analytics, and they play a major part of baseball, do you ever get to the point where it's like, all right, sometimes we might have to throw the analytics out the window for, like, you know, a certain player, maybe if he's just not, you know, swinging on first pitches because of what analytics tell him? Or when do you get to that point where you just maybe let the guy just go on feel and instinct versus the analytics part of the game?
Yeah, I think it's, again, it's always a balance of everything, and you know, There's all kinds of different analytical information, you know, in terms of preparation for a game, or kind of more longer term stuff, like how you think the player should perform over time, and what his track record leads you to believe he will do. But that, you know, doesn't, you know, mean that you don't look at what you see with your eyes. At the you know, these guys are human beings. They're, you know, they go through different things, both physical, mental, whatever it might be. So it's all part of it. You know, it's not throwing one or the other out the window. It's kind of always considering everything and doing, you know, trying to help the player put himself in the best position to succeed.
I want to ask you about something from a management perspective. Do you, and this, with regard to Aaron Rodgers, do you look at when it comes to a key player on, you know, on the Red Sox, who's a part of your franchise, do you end up consulting with them on personnel decisions and things like that that may affect them?
That's a good question. I mean, it's interesting. You definitely want to stay engaged with your clubhouse, with your players, certainly your key players, your team leaders. You certainly do factor in with, say, acquisitions or moves you're going to make, how that might impact the group, how that might impact the clubhouse. The managers involved in those conversations. You may talk to a player about someone that you're considering acquiring that they have experience with that they know. On the other hand, you know, you don't want to, you know, get in a situation where you ask a question that you don't really want answered. You know, you don't want to solicit input if that input isn't going to kind of carry the day at times. So it's a balance, but you always want to, you know, certainly keep in mind how any decision is going to impact the clubhouse and the environment down there.
All right, last question from me. I think next week, double the fans at Fenway, so up to close to 10,000. Will that make a difference for the team?
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, it's exciting to be able to, you know, add more fans to the stands. Should help us. It of course, the more the merrier at Fenway, and we have, you know, not played as well as we should at Fenway Park over, you know, well documented over the last season plus, so we're looking forward to having more fans in the stands to help us out.
Do you think that's a factor when it comes to how you're playing at home?
You know, it's hard to say. I wouldn't blame it on that. Certainly, I think pinpointing why we haven't, you know, played quite as well as we should at home is difficult. But I certainly also feel that it can't hurt to have more fans in the stands, you know, cheering for our guys.
All right, Brian O'Halloran on the Harbor One Hotline. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Wiggy, very into the analytics. Have you noticed that?
Well, because, you know, when we had Big Poppy on and he talked about that, and, you know, baseball, it's a huge part in baseball. Like, you know, other sports, it's not as big. And Big Poppy was like, sometimes that's the issue, is just, you know, they're looking at all these analytics when guys just need to go up there, get comfortable, you know, whatever it is, take their hacks at the ball. And then the Verdugo Twitter video was pretty cool of him just talking about how he, you know, swings and how he hits the ball. So, right.
But he doesn't like it because he doesn't want any player judged by any kind of statistical analytics.
No, I never.
They're culturally biased.
No, I never.
You notice that, yep. That's where he's heading with
but
this.
As a player, I never.
They
like,
just should just pay him the money. Doesn't right. matter what their stats look like, what they do, whether they perform or not, pay him the money.
Yeah, stats are for losers.
But in football, maybe it's just different in football. I never really looked at that. It was just like, all right, here's what I need to do and get the job done.
Wiggy,
right.
Your VORP on this show is through the roof.
I have no idea what
value over replacement.
It's one of those things you ate. It's one of those things you ate yesterday. It had 47 grams of VORP in it. All right, we'll be right back.
You signed a contract. You've got a couple of years left on that. If you want to be like Tom Brady, play out your contract and then move on. But in this case, you can't force Aaron Rodgers. Coddled maybe too much. He has no right to want to get the GM fired. What right does he have?
Little truth from Terry Bradshaw, Wiggy. What right does Aaron Rodgers have to dictate the firing of the guy who runs the widget plant over there?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Coming from the guy who played on a team where the D lineman told the coaches, here's what we gonna do. If you don't like it, kick rocks.
Whoa.
Mean Joe Whoa. Green.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Me, that stale curtain. Ken can tell you about it.
No respect for Terry Bradshaw, huh?
Oh, come on, man. Terry Bradshaw was a passenger on that plane.
Brilliant performance and failure to launch.
It was Franco Harris. Gunslinger. Yeah, come on. It was Franco Harris.
Swan,
that stale curtain throws. Defense.
The first two, I'll grant you, but the second two, geez.
Come on, man. Ken, Terry, you should know
so
better.
Terry Bradshaw, passenger.
On that Pittsburgh Steelers train, yeah. Yeah. Go look at that defense, and then look at the guys who were on that Super Bowl defense. What was it, 4 and 5 years, and none of them changed? Lambert, Ham, Mean Joe Green.
They aired it out in the second two titles
okay.
of that.
Okay, all right.
Do you think the average NFL fan relates to Aaron Rodgers and
no.
what he's doing?
No. I mean, the fit, you know, we have this discussion all the time.
So do you think, I guess he doesn't, he could care less whatsoever what fans, what Green Bay fans think of him, or what fans in general think of him when it comes to his brand, because he clearly has zero respect for the organization,
mm-hmm.
zero respect for what the fans think, and he's all about Aaron Rodgers, right?
Do you think that the fans side with owners on how they treat players? No,
I don't. I feel like what does that question mean?
I feel like when you're always talking about players instantly fans go, players need to do this, players need to do that, players need to do this, but they never really hold owners accountable.
Oh, of course they
do. No, they don't. Stop it.
What are you talking about?
Stop it. They don't do it. They don't do it at all. It's just the way it is, man.
You don't think the owners of NFL teams get criticized by fans?
No, not as much as the players do. Come on. Think about this. Tom Brady left. Tom Brady left.
Yeah.
How much criticism did we really throw towards Robert Kraft?
A considerable amount of people blamed it on him.
No, it was more people blaming it on Belichick.
Well, because Belichick has the final say.
But I thought the owner of the team is the one that ultimately has the final say.
You judge the owner on the team who he decides to give the final say to, of course. But I think the issue here with Aaron Rodgers is the proximity we are to when he signed that massive deal. There are a lot of NFL players. I would say 99% of the NFL is underpaid.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is not underpaid.
Yeah, but he's not tripping about money, though.
It's That's all about control, power.
It's a part of it.
I mean, but in the case, it's not like he's going, all right, I want you to rip up my new deal and give me more money. He's saying we kind of know that a lot of the Aaron Rodgers issues is he feels like they are trying to move him out the door.
What?
And he's playing at a level where he's trying to win a championship, and they're trying to bring in his replacement.
So no team that ever has a reasonably successful quarterback on their roster should draft a quarterback for the future?
Not in the first round. When you need offensive help.
You sound like an ignoramus.
No, when you need offensive help, why are you drafting a quarterback?
Because they want to plan for the future.
You just extended.
And they have a player that was available to them at the position they were picking that they thought was the best player at that where they were picking. I mean, come on.
Your plan for the future was you extended Aaron Rodgers. So isn't that your plan?
They have no other quarterback on their roster.
Well, he got injured
a year and a half ago, missed several games during the season. He's 38 years old.
Right. They extended him, though. They extended him before they drafted Jordan.
I just don't understand how this is impacting Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers didn't lose the game to the Buccaneers because he didn't have offense. He lost the game because he and his coach peed down their leg in the fourth quarter and kicked a field goal for no reason.
His coach decided to go with the field goal. I think Aaron Rodgers
Has Aaron Rodgers done anything wrong here?
Is like a lot of quarterbacks that have taken a page out of Brady's book, and I'm talking about the franchise quarterbacks, that go, you know what? I'd like to have a voice and be heard in some of the decisions that you're making because my career isn't that long and I want to make sure I could capitalize on the time that I have left.
Is Aaron Rodgers doing anything wrong right now?
Not in Wiggy's mind.
I would say maybe letting it play out in the public eye.
Well, that's the whole thing he did on draft day.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing.
Talk to Mr. Kraft. Come on.
I mean, that's what he did on draft day. He totally blew up the NFL.
I would say that.
I don't understand.
You asked me what he did wrong, and I would say, you know, maybe he could have just handled it differently behind closed doors and, you know, had.
But that's the whole thing that he's done.
I know that. You asked me what he did wrong.
So then you think this whole thing is wrong then?
No. You said what he did wrong. I just said aired it out. I don't mind him going to them and being upset that they are deciding to go in a different direction. Or I don't mind him being upset because he wants to have some type of say-so.
Here's a 401 text that says, Greg, you're wrong. Tom Brady made Jimmy Garoppolo leave.
Right. Oh, no. He made the owner trade him. That's what he did. So if Aaron Rodgers does that, isn't that the same thing Brady did?
So Tom Brady did the same thing. You're saying he's like a petulant child, which is what Aaron Rodgers is.
No, Brady handled it differently. Brady didn't go about it in the way of where we see Aaron Rodgers going out there, I'm going to retire. And that's where I said where Rodgers is kind of handling it wrong. But they both kind of they're going about the main issue and main problem where they don't like what's going on and their voice is not being heard.
This is Jeff from New Jersey, where they are handing out a shot and a beer with your vaccine. Did you get the shot and the beer, Jeff?
You know what? I'm annoyed. I got my first shot, but I didn't get nothing.
Oh, that doesn't seem right.
I really got a Band-Aid on my wound site.
You should get. You should at least get a free appetizer or something.
I got to talk to somebody about this. Somebody in charge. Yes. But I wanted to chime in on this Aaron Rodgers thing. excuse me, the thing here that's really going on is this is what's really happening here is this is a divorce, okay, that humans and people do every day who sign contracts in the state and the sight of God. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be with that organization anymore. Now, we can debate and have points of view. He's wrong. The Packers are wrong. They shouldn't have made a pick. They could make the pick in their best interest. But at the end of the day, if both parties are willing to deal with the repercussions of a fallout, meaning, okay, if the Packers decide, I'm not trading you, and if Aaron Rodgers says, I'm not playing, then he has to retire and pay back money. Or if the Packers do that, then they get no compensation for one of the best players in the NFL. So this isn't just like regular. Brady played out his contract, negotiated to not have a franchise deal, and left as a free agent. This is a divorce. So it is ugly. It's sticky. It's a little messy, but it's hard. And it's not just simply that they drafted Jordan Love. I mean, there's been a lot more. Big Packer family, my family is. There was a lot more that's going on. It wasn't just. Now, that was a big part, but there's other things. And the bottom line is he just wants to leave.
Okay, that's so it. play your contract out and then leave.
I don't think he can because he signed that thing and he'll be like, what, 41, 42?
Well, why did he sign? Was he happy when he signed the contract?
I assume so, just like Deshaun Watson was before all his issues.
Same,
and then remember, he wanted to get out.
Do you think
Aaron Rodgers Greg is upset with the contract, or is he upset with the fact that they don't respect him? Like Brady talked about. Didn't Giselle come in and said, my husband just wants to be respected?
It ain't about the money. That's something you say when you have millions and millions of dollars and you're looking for other things to complain about.
So in your mind, somebody who says it's more about the respect is lying because they got millions of dollars.
You get respect. You don't run around demanding to get respect. Respect is.
I love it so much, and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
And Wiggy, why was Aaron Rodgers in the Packers favored over the Bucks if he was so his roster was so insufficient with talent?
What's that have to do with the discussion we're having here?
Can you answer the question?
So they were favored. Who had a better team?
According to Vegas, the Packers.
But they're wrong. Who had the better wide receiver core?
Wiggy, we're not going.
You brought it up, and now I'm just
asking you why his awful team was favored to win.
I don't know why they were favored to win. I wouldn't have favored them in that game.
Oh, okay.
So you got one player in Devontae Adams, and the Buccaneers
have Mike Evans.
They had Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, but that's a different conversation.
They had the MVP of the NFL as their quarterback.
Aaron Rodgers. You're talking about a guy who wanted to make draft day all about himself. That's all you need to know.
Right. I understand. And you, Curtis asked me, what do I feel like he did wrong? And I said, Aaron, airing the dirty laundry out
Aaron,
in public.
Aaroning them out
yes,
in public?
That's it. But what he's doing.
I do love dirty laundry.
For what he's doing.
Ooh, dirty laundry rejoin. I demand it. Don Henley. Yeah,
for what he's doing, I don't have a problem with.
Was that Loverboy or Don Henley?
When your star player is saying, hey, I still want to play. I just like some input. Why are you drafting a quarterback in the first round when I'm not going anywhere? I then have, okay, I understand what he's saying. He's not getting the respect that he feels like he deserves. And his only way of basically saying, I want my respect is trade me to another team. I don't want to play for. Why would you want to play for an organization or work for a company that doesn't respect you?
Because they are paying you millions of dollars to do it. And you signed a contract agreeing to do it.
But when you sign that contract,
be a man, and play out your contract and then go elsewhere.
When you sign that contract, you did it under the thought that they were respecting you. So if a company doesn't.
Oh, my God. The respect thing.
Oh, so you don't.
Give me a break.
Okay. This is Brady's fault. Wiggy's right about that. He started the whole thing.
So if they don't.
The Brady effect.
If they don't respect you. So, like, if this company don't respect me. And I'm still saying, all right, I'm going to come to work every day. Can I then crap on the company?
If you signed a contract that said you were going to come to work every day, you should come to work every day. And then when your contract is up, you can leave and go elsewhere and do whatever you want.
Right, but he's in a situation. The only way he can go elsewhere is if he threatens to retire.
Yeah, I know. In your mind, the employees run the company. I get it.
Oh, you run this company?
No, I don't. David Field runs this company.
You got the biggest office upstairs. I seen it.
It's a nice office,
and it's got a glass door.
It was a, it was, it was a, It was an empty room. They were using it as a broom closet.
Oh, is that what they?
Yeah, it's
and they stock a lot of brooms in that closet.
I think Mutt was living there.
All right, we got to get to Ken Laird and what is trending this morning.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
By the way, one football note: my guy Daniel Jeremiah, the latest to say the Patriots like Mac Jones, they don't love him. Based on his draft knowledge and reading the board,
I started thinking about it, and I'm like, they liked him. They didn't love him. If they loved him, they would have gone up and got him.
Correct. Bill didn't love him.
Okay.
Liked him, didn't love him. It was a Kraft hire. Good call by Alex Reamer at WEI.com. I disagree with it, but worth a read. He was disagreeing with my take on that. Red Sox go down in 10 innings to the Tigers last night, 6-5. I do enjoy this post-game comment from Martin Perez. Did you guys hear this one?
No.
He's fired up after the loss. He had a good start yesterday. I think everybody could say he's had a decent go of the season so far. Here's Perez.
I know that the people say we're not going to be good this year, and I'm sorry we're going to say, but we're f***ing good.
There you go.
I'll rock with you, man.
Put that on a t-shirt, Wiggs. We're effing good.
Yep, I like it.
That was a very light bleep.
Yeah, a little loose bleep by Spaz. Red Sox almost won it in the ninth. Xander Bogaerts, well-struck ball to left, but grab of the Tigers, and they hit a 3-1 shot off Whitlock in the 10th. Rangers Capitals, fight card expected, and it delivered. Three-fight line brawl 1 second in. Brendan Smith jumped Tom Wilson about a minute later, and then two more fights at 4:14 of the first six fights in all in the first 5 minutes, most in the last 40 years of NHL hockey.
Then Wilson disappeared.
Right.
Never to be heard from again.
Well, that's because Ovechkin, who runs that organization, says, hey, listen, take this other Russian out now. Get out of here.
What do you think Corrali actually thinks about Wilson? We had him on earlier, and he sort of defended him.
Well, I didn't think he wanted to give them anything that they could use should they face them in round one.
No, it sounded like he was saying that as long as it's between the lines and that this stuff happens all the time.
He's okay with it.
He's okay with it. Now, the problem is, that's why I said, your history makes people look at you funny, right?
Yeah.
So
tell me about it.
But if this is what it is in the game, then what are you tripping about? As long as it's done between the lines.
Celtics blow out the Magic, which was not a foregone conclusion. They lost the Hornets or the Magic recently, didn't they? Mm-hmm. They've struggled with some of these teams anyway.
Yeah.
Some of these style of teams. But they blew it out last night, 48-18 in his return to Orlando. Tatum, 27. 21 made threes, and of course, Kemba Walker, 32. But Wiggy is still skeptical. Celtics Bulls tomorrow. They are currently the 6th seed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That's what's trending.
One, two! Back to the Greg Hill Show on EEI.
What Wiggy picture is the Odyssey app using? Because I've received a couple text messages about why Wiggy is wearing a wetsuit in the photo that appears on the brand new Odyssey app when it comes to the show.
That's my Nike. That's a Nike shirt.
Oh, okay. So it's not a wetsuit.
Nah.
Oh, okay.
That's a Nike shirt. It kind of has that little look to it, like a little wetsuit look.
Are you a deep sea diver kind of guy? I mean, you don't like seafood, so I would assume that you would Would you do deep sea diving?
He doesn't do deep sea woke fishing.
No, I don't do deep sea woke fishing. I never scuba dived, but I do like going to the Caribbean and snorkeling out in the ocean.
All right. I do like snorkeling.
Yeah. So, but I'm a little, I did the one thing where you're like on the, you're on the little bike under the water with the helmet, like the little,
what is that?
It's,
why, what are you talking about?
It's like, you know, you ever see those, you know, the movie, with Robert De Niro and Cuba Gooding Jr., Man of Honor, and, you know, they put those aqua helmets on you, and I was in an aqua helmet on like a little bike on the water.
Underwater?
Yeah.
Where was this?
It was like the Bahamas or something like that.
Sounds like some kinky thing you were doing on the Vikings cruise.
No, you're in it, and you could breathe underwater. It's like it's like one of them weird round aqua helmets.
Imagine having the next cell to Wiggy at Guantanamo Bay.
So I don't know. I probably would scuba dive.
How'd they fit that helmet on you?
It's pretty big.
You know what? They would not have to waterboard Wiggy to get him to talk. He would be talking as soon as he got there.
So, yes, Gregory, I would scuba dive.
You would?
You got to make fun of me talking.
Yeah, I don't think I would.
You could talk on the water.
I don't think I would do that.
You wouldn't scuba dive?
No, I wouldn't want to get the bends or whatever. I feel
What's
like
the bends?
The bends? You get the bends when you come up too quick.
Well, I mean, I probably wouldn't go down too deep, though. Maybe 30 feet.
That's the lowest you would go.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go deep diving.
Deep diving.
I know one guy that scuba dives, and he's the weirdest guy I know. His name is Doug Lane.
What, Doug Lane is a scuba diver?
Oh, he hasn't told you about his scuba? No, you are a lucky man.
No, he hasn't. This is Bob from New Hampshire. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
What's,
how are you?
What's going on? We're doing great. How are you?
Good. You guys were, talking football, and back this past Super Bowl, before I was, at a guy's house, they had a big party with all these screens. And they showed, for example, Tom Brady before the game and along with all the other athletes. The game went, it played, it ended. And when it was done, I'm the only odd person that was looking because they did a close-up of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to everybody in the room, I went, Tom really is Superman. And they went, why? I went, look at him. There's not a bead of sweat on his whole face or his hair. He looked as good as he did before. So some of the other people there who have a lot better eyes than me looked and went, you're right. There doesn't appear to be a bead of sweat. So I was just wondering how he, in essence, manages to do that. That's all.
I don't have an answer for that.
I think it's it's the TB12 water.
It probably is.
Is it the water or is the tequila? Is he selling that yet?
I don't think he's selling the avocado tequila. Everybody thought he was, but I don't think he is.
You're going to know he's selling it because Greg will be mentioning it 10 times a show.
This is not a nice text message. Should I read it anyway?
Yeah.
It's not complimentary. Texter says that the last time I went scuba diving, I got harpooned. That's not.
By the Wicked Tuna guys.
That is not.
Oh, maybe you should lose some weight.
That's not a nice thing to say.
Whoa.
No, I'm just saying, because if you're not that big, they might not take you as for like a seal or a whale.
Right. Hello, Jimmy.
Thanks for having me on, guys. In case any of you are wondering, I have a gigantic nose.
I'm sure you do. I can tell. I can hear it in your voice.
I want to thank you and specifically thank Wiggy, because every day when I listen, I laugh. And you legitimately make my life better, Wiggy, so I appreciate that so much.
Thank you.
Excellent.
You make my life
think
better.
You're pure genius level. I believe this. I wanted to comment on the Celtics, but first I would say, when I called in a month and a half ago and told you all about how much money you can make in crypto,
mm-hmm.
you were the only one who was like, wait a minute, I'd get into that.
Oh,
and
Wiggy's
taking
into
over,
it.
Baby.
They call Wiggy the Doge Master.
Well, see, they've been trying to get me in on this other thing, too. One of my boys. This,
Amway?
No, this NFT. It's like the digital cards that everybody's doing.
Yeah, it's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what that is?
No.
You know, he's like, oh, you should do it. But I'm like, who's going to buy a digital card?
Well, Tom Brady, speaking of Tom Brady, Tom Brady has a company. He's a partner in a company that does that.
Yeah, so I'm like, who's going to buy
a card? Well, that's the thing now, is you're buying essentially digital memorabilia.
Yeah, see,
you're not buying the actual memorabilia. You're buying the digital. Right. It's stored digitally.
And that's what scares me about the cryptocurrency.
You might forget the password.
I look at it like this. Can I throw this money on strippers? If I can't, that's kind of how I like to base, you know, the type of money
okay.
I want.
So until strippers start accepting Bitcoin or Dogecoin.
All right, then I'll believe it. I'll get into it.
Yeah.
How are you going to make it rain with Bitcoin?
That's going to happen. They're going to have one of those scanny things there where you can just scan your phone, transfer the money.
One NFL draftee took his whole salary in Bitcoin, correct?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw some.
Entire salary.
Yeah. And then there was another guy who got his new contract. I think he played for the Ravens, took half of his money in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I still don't really, like I said, I don't know about it. Can I throw it in the strip club? They're like, no, well, you know, until we can throw it in the strip club, that's when you know stuff is real.
Well, there's probably some savvy dancers who would take the Bitcoin if you offered it. Have you ever had a conversation with them about it?
No, because I don't even know where to find Bitcoin. So do I have to, like, show them on the phone, like, hey, here's it is. I'm making a rain on the phone right now.
Ordway's demand that he get paid in silver dollars.
Are you measuring your nose, by the way?
I have a ruler here. I should measure my nose.
You can watch.
It's from the tip of the thing to the brim.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the tip, right?
And so, watch this on Twitch if you want. So I don't know why you would, but.
Oh, you're cheating.
What do you got?
I'm doing it from
your finger slid down.
I'm doing it from the brim. So, Greg, you could see me, right?
Yeah.
So here's the tip.
From the brim?
Yeah. And here's the nose right there. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. Yeah.
So it's like almost 2.5.
2.5 inches?
Yeah.
Let me see that thing.
So I don't know what that correlates.
We actually finally are doing an actual Richard measuring contest live on EA.
Five and a half inches.
No, not down there.
Looks like it
looks pretty good right there where you're measuring. That's a good measuring stick.
2.25.
All right.
So that means.
So what's that correlate to? Is that like 6 or 7 inches?
No. We'd have to go back and check the chart. But obviously, you have a bigger nose than I do. Big deal.
Huge.
It's not about that.
I feel like Ken has a big nose.
It's not about size of the nose.
I think Ken
That's
has.
That's not what matters.
Ken looks like he has the biggest nose.
Well, big nose, big hose. That's what science determines.
That's what you're going to leave our audience with today.
Big nose, big hose.
For Ken.
It is huge.
It's a t-shirt.
No hose.
We will take a quick break, but we will be right back.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
The Greg Hill Show on EEI.
Curtis, you can verify, but Texter is suggesting that there is an Office Obscure reference on scuba diving.
Yes. Creed says, if I can't scuba, then what the hell is the whole point of this? What has everything been about? Very exciting.
And the world's still shocked about your lead this morning, which is that the father of the baby is now known worldwide.
Jan Levinson, the love interest of Michael Scott for a time, had a child with a sperm donor. Her child's name was Astrid, but Michael called her Asturd. And we now know that one, Andy Roddick, is the sperm donor. So Totally random and bizarre, but that was unveiled yesterday on an office show on iTunes.
Was he ever on there as, like, you know, as a guest appearance on an airplane? One of the episodes?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I don't ever recall
seeing him. As far as unanswered television questions go, that's got to be at the top of the list.
There's one office one, Greg, that still hasn't been answered that we all want. The message that Jim wrote Pam that he left in her Secret Santa teapot.
Well, if the cast is revealing this stuff, that's probably coming next.
Better.
Speaking of television, amazing documentary just debuted on Netflix called Sons of Sam. Anybody seen it?
First episode and a little bit of the second.
First of all, I was alive during that time, as I was during the time of the invention of the light bulb. And I had no idea. Is a spoiler okay on...
I think when it's a historical documentary, I think you can talk about the facts of the case.
So this dude was running around shooting people in New York City in 1978, 1979.
Spoiler alert!
They finally identified the guy, David Berkowitz. He had called himself Son of Sam, or at least they thought he had written a note to reporters and to the police identifying himself. They arrested him. They put him in the loony bin. Can you call it the loony bin still? They put him in there, and then he remained in jail. Turns out that it most likely was not just he, but there were other Sons of Sam.
Oh, copycats?
No, it was like a conspiracy thing.
A satanic cult.
Yeah, a cult.
Oh, wow.
It was a cult thing.
Serial killing cult.
It's unbelievable. I know, Wiggy, you don't love documentaries.
No, I do love
documentaries. I highly recommend it. Hello, Rich.
Hello, I just missed what you were saying. You're talking about Sons of Sam?
Yes.
Yeah, I just started that. Fantastic, right?
Isn't it amazing?
How much have you watched?
I'm two episodes in.
All right, I only watched the first one, but I'm all in on that.
So it gets so much better. Second episode.
Fascinating.
It's so fascinating.
And, like, the link to Manson, maybe, or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, because he's got to be, what, Son of Sam, top 10 most famous, top 5 even most famous serial killer? Top
probably.
10.
Probably.
Shout out Charlie Manson.
Mel Kiper has his list coming out this afternoon.
Charlie Manson never killed anybody.
Yeah,
not a serial killer.
That is true. Charlie Manson never killed anybody. Yeah.
Top 5 serial kills. Who's in your top 5?
Top on my power rankings?
Yes.
Well, like my basketball, I have 10 in my top 5. But
Bundy.
I would say Bundy.
Okay.
Gacy. Dahmer.
What about Ed Gein?
Ed Gein and Jack the Ripper.
And Jack the Ripper.
And Eileen Voorhees, the Charlize Theron's character from Monster.
Yes,
oh, that was a good movie.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was a great movie.
Uh-huh.
So you can't even put Charlie Manson in the top 5.
No, because he didn't kill anybody.
Technically, he
did. He didn't kill anybody.
Speaking of killers, are you able to identify your prime suspect in Mayor of Easttown yet?
Well, the end of episode 3 is pushing it too far into the one priest that it can't possibly be him.
Right.
With 4 episodes to go, they can't. So, but he knows who it is my guess. Or he's covering it up. So I wonder, could it be Mayor's cousin, who's the other priest?
Maybe.
Or something that you hit on off the air yesterday is that there are multiple killers out there.
Mm.
Or there could be. Or there a serial killer.
There could be
God's
a serial. There could be. I think all of the murders are tied together.
Oh, my God. What about Mayor's friend? The girl that was on the basketball team and
yes,
because she's popping up in a lot of spots. She's the one that floated that rumor about the Mayor, they think that your ex husband's actually the father,
right?
So she's kind of stirring the pot a little bit for me.
The writing is brilliant in Mayor of Easttown because there are so many suspects,
and they're gonna wrap this all up in one season.
Yeah, I know you're upset.
Yeah,
I'm not a big one season.
Like, how come it's not?
It's hard to find good.
But don't you like that the story is told? Because I feel like another show that I watched was The Walking Dead, and that just kept going and going. Like, you needed an ending for that.
Yeah,
right.
You can't just go forever.
No, I don't think you can go forever, but I think you need a couple seasons to really, like, one of my favorite shows, Power, right? They had about maybe 5 or 6 seasons where they built the character, they digged in, and then they kind of ended it, and then they had spinoffs of it, right?
Oh, all right.
So you were able to wrap up everybody and who they were.
But, like, aren't there good movies that don't have sequels?
But usually, you know,
he's like, no.
No. But you know how I feel about movies.
I do.
When they leave you hang, like, I just watched The Little Things with Denzel Washington. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
It was good.
It's fine.
I don't like movies, you know.
I know.
I hate M. Night Shyamalan when they, at the end of the movie, you go,
Yeah, like,
what the hell just happened?
Yeah, like Titanic was a real whodunit.
What about Mare herself?
I'm not ruling her out. It's staring us right in the face. It's the name of the show, for God's sakes.
That's what it's going to be.
And because she had a cool, like, that was a great angle with her planting the drugs in the last episode.
I know.
That was awesome.
I know. Can you, I nicely asked Scheim to create odds for me on who the killer is.
He has to watch the show first.
I know.
He hasn't watched the show.
He hasn't?
No.
What's wrong with him?
I don't know. He's playing a lot of video games. He doesn't have time for everything.
I asked him nicely.
But I think, so right now, who's your number one?
My number one is, it was going to be her ex-husband.
Yeah.
I think I'm off on that now.
Yeah.
I guess I would have to say it's Mare's cousin, the priest.
The
guy.
Priest.
Yeah, but I think that's good. I think that it's too obvious.
When Mare's daughter, though.
Mare's daughter is another.
Mare's daughter's in there because she was in the woods.
That's why you need odds.
We need odds.
We need odds.
That's why I need the second season.
We got to get out of here. What are you guys doing today?
Short shows. We're going to jam a whole bunch in here for 2 hours because we got Red Sox baseball this afternoon. So we'll touch on the loss from last night. We're also going to do a grab bag of D-bags at 11:30.
Slow burn was funny yesterday, too.
Slow burn was good. Thank you guys for that. That helped
slow
us.
Slow burn was great. Thanks to Wiggy.
Thanks to you guys testing food.
It has to be Wiggy going forward.
No, yeah, I think it might just be slow Wiggy.
Slow Wiggy.
Mexican food.
All right. Gresh and Keith is next. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. Thank you very much for listening.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.